his voice, even more of the sickening fear. The countryside passing by as he drove. The road signs. We'd gone all through Missouri. I thought he'd taken me because of my career as a thriller writer, that he was an unhinged fan of my dark and disturbing books, written under my pseudonym, Elizabeth Fairchild. But those words meant that not only had he known my real name, the name I was now using to hide from him, but that maybe he'd known me for a long time, been aware of my entire family. My father had disappeared when I was 7, and though my mother, Mill Rivers, had spent most of her life searching for Dad, she was now off the radar too, after allegedly shooting Walker in the parking lot of a Piggly Wiggly. I'd come to the conclusion that those 7 words, along with a few other pieces of evidence, might also mean that Travis Walker had something to do with my father's disappearance. They also might mean nothing at all, could have just been part of Walker's cruel manipulations. There was even a possibility that the memory was a glitch, though I was fairly certain my mind was putting things together correctly. There was no guarantee. I could be misremembering. I'd done it before. With my mom on the run and my kidnapper still on the loose, the idea that my mind was playing tricks on me didn't seem unwarranted. I'd escaped the van, witnesses saying I flung myself out of it, though I still don't remember that part. Because of the impact, I'd needed brain surgery to clear a subdural hematoma, but there didn't appear to be any lingering brain damage. Since I'd also run from the hospital in St. Louis, Missouri, where I was being treated and observed, though, I couldn't know for sure. Mostly, I just wanted Travis's voice to leave my head, leave me alone. Inside my room at the Benedict House, a halfway house for female felons, where I was also living, I stood from my desk chair. I'd been working on notes for my next book, or at least trying to. Most of the time, I wrote my novels in a small hunting shed out in the woods that housed the community one-sheet newspaper, The Petition, that I also put together every week. It made a good cover for my real job, since there was only one local who knew who I was. The police chief, Grill Samuels. But inspiration had struck this evening. Unfortunately, as it waned, Travis Walker's words had come back full force. Again. I pulled back the curtain from the room's window. The view was one of an open plot of land that led to the woods. Tonight, all I saw was darkness. If there was a moon, it was hidden behind thick clouds. Any artificial light from the small downtown businesses didn't eke its way back here, behind the buildings. I closed the curtain. I was antsy, not able to think about reading something for pleasure. I'd loaded some old television sitcoms onto my laptop, but the idea of watching something funny made my skin crawl. I needed to do something. Exercise? Though that would have helped, I decided to opt for some civilization instead. I pulled on a hat, grabbed my coat, and left the room, still double-checking the lock on the door, even after all these months. Actually, triple-checking. The rest of the Benedict House was quiet. My landlord and the woman who ran it, Viola, was probably in her office or her room. It wasn't required that we check in with each other as we came and went, but I often let her know what my plans were. Tonight, I just wanted to go. I slipped on my boots from a pile we left by the front door. These were my newest pair. I'd purchased them from the mercantile 2 weeks earlier, and I didn't think I'd worn anything else since. I glanced down the hallway toward Viola's rooms, but didn't hear or see her, or smell anything coming from the kitchen. We'd had a resident through Christmas, but Ellen had done so well that, with a break in the weather, she was flown back to Juneau and then Anchorage to forge a new life. She'd come to the Benedict House a strung-out junkie, but left a cleaned-up woman with a goal to succeed. She'd wished to stay longer because she'd ended up enjoying her time at the house, but she hadn't been allowed to make those sorts of decisions for herself. Viola had heard that she was still on track. We both hoped she'd be okay, and frankly, we missed her, not to mention her bread-baking skills. I stepped out and into the cold. The ground was covered in snow.